if you really love Jesus. Clap your hands 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 if you really love Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jesus, I'm free. Thank you. from you. A blessing from you. A blessing from you. My hands are lifted up. My heart is ready to receive a blessing from you. A blessing from you. My hands are lifted up. My heart is ready to receive a blessing from you.
Hallelujah.
A blessing from you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
A blessing from you.
A blessing from you.
A blessing from you, Lord. A blessing. Hallelujah.
A blessing from you.
A blessing. A blessing. Hallelujah. Father God, we do honor you so much in this place today, glory to God. For you are so good, hallelujah, Jesus. Your mercy endureth forever, your truth endureth to all generations, glory to God. Father God, we have tasted your goodness, hallelujah. And we know that we're blessed because we trust in you, hallelujah. Father God, we honor you for this time of worship. We honor you that you've ministered to us as we have ministered to you by way of song, even by way of other verbal utterances in this place today. Father God, we thank you now for your word. Your son said, Lord, your son Jesus said, your word is liberating. It's truth that sets us free, glory to God. So, Father God, we thank you for the word that we're about to receive for the nourishment of our spiritual men and our spiritual women, glory to God. And Holy Spirit, we thank you now that as we prepare to receive the word, that you do go before the word, that you do quicken us in our innermost beings so that we can spiritually discern and receive with meekness everything that the word is sharing with us in this place. Holy Spirit, we thank you now that as I stand to say what thus saith you, as I stand to be the vessel that God has chosen me to be, I thank you that you do stand up in my body, that you do think with my mind, that you do speak with my mouth, that you do flow through me in this place today, say and do everything that Abba, our Father, and Jesus, our Lord and King, desires you to say through us in this place today. Thank you that no satanic hindrance shall hinder the free flow of your word in this place. We thank you that we are blessed. That is, we are empowered to prosper your way as we receive the word on good ground, that good ground being our hearts. Father God, we honor you today. We bless you. And we do decree and declare in this place today that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart are acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord God, you are our strength and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we do pray. And all who agree with that prayer said, amen. Well, come on, let's give God glory, honor, and praise wherever you are. Amen. In your cars, in your homes, in this facility, anywhere that you are, you're in a good place to give God praise. Praise with the fruit of your lips, even with the clapping of your hands. And even if you've got a dance you want to praise them with, somebody say, praise them with a dance. Amen. Amen. You can praise him with that dance. Well, good morning, friendship. Good morning to all of our social media friends who are joining us this morning. Good morning to everyone who's joining us by way of teleconferencing this morning. And good morning to all of you all who are here in the sanctuary this morning as well. It's good to be here. It's good to be here. There's no other friend. How I want to say this. There's no better friend to have than Jesus. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. He's the best friend that a person could ever have. We can tell him things that he won't tell nobody. Yeah, you can share your innermost secrets with him, and they're safe. Amen. He's like a good refrigerator. He can hold everything. Somebody say amen. You know, some of us say about us, we're like bad refrigerators. We can't hold nothing. Somebody say amen. Jesus is unlike that. He can hold anything that we share with him. Somebody say amen. Well, my time is getting ready to roll. I better get ready to share the word. Amen. We're in week number 3, and our teaching's entitled Truth. Somebody say truth. Truth revealed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. We want to make this statement. We've said it before. We'll make it again. The Holy Spirit never reveals lies to us. He might reveal a lie that's been told to us. Somebody say amen. But he never reveals lies to us. The scripture calls him the Spirit of Truth. And whatever he reveals to us, he reveals truth. Somebody say amen. Even if it's about you, if he tells you something about yourself, you can take it to the bank. Amen. Because he knows everything about us. He knows the truth to share with us about ourselves in an effort to get us to develop the way that God desires to develop, or to get us to make changes that God desires to make. Somebody say amen. Last week we talked about a few things. Some of the things we talked about, God inspired, or the Holy Spirit inspired us as we stood. Amen. We had no idea that we were going to talk about them, but we shared them because the Holy Spirit breathed them in us, that we allow them to flow through us and be spoken out in the public to you all. Amen. And then we shared a couple of things that he shared by way of quiet time that we had written on our manuscript. And one of those things is God said the church is in a state of spiritual dimness. Somebody say dimness. That is, the church is not seeing everything clearly that the Holy Spirit is trying to reveal unto us. And I say trying or attempting to reveal to us, because we're not getting everything that he's trying to reveal, or we're not grasping or understanding everything that he's trying to reveal to us. Somebody say amen. God also says that the church, somebody say the church, can get to a place of spiritual transparency. Say transparency. That is, we can see everything that the Holy Spirit is sharing with us. We can see clearly everything that the Holy Spirit is sharing with us. But we only get to that place where we can see and understand everything he's sharing with us by fellowshipping with him, or by communing with him on a regular basis. Somebody say amen. He's here with us. Say he's here with us. Not only is he here with us, the scripture declares that he's in us as well. Amen. And anything that's in me, I can commune with. Somebody say amen. Anything that's walking alongside me, Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, walking alongside, I can commune with. Amen. As a matter of fact, I can ask some questions and I can talk to him so that I can know him better, et cetera, et cetera. So that when he's coming, when his wind blows my way, I can know that's his wind. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. So we bless God that we can get in a place with the Holy Spirit where we can know when he's speaking, know the truth that he's speaking, and then make the corrections in our lives that God desires us to make by way of breathing those things in our life, or bringing those things in our lives by way of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen. So the Holy Spirit is working on us, I shared last week, to bring us into the place where we look more like Christ. Remember I shared that with you from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 18? We're growing from glory to glory. Somebody say amen. That's only if you're working along with him. Somebody say amen. Even though he's working, we got to submit to, we must, I'll use a stronger word, we must submit to this work if we're going to get to the place where we look like Christ. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 8, that Jesus has given these gifts to the church: pastors, prophets, apostles, teachers, and evangelists. for the working, for the equipment, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. But here again, if you continue to read, they are also supposed to grow us up in the things of Christ. Amen. So if they're preaching and you're not receiving, that means there's something that's hindering that, or hinder you from receiving, which means that our growth can be somewhat stunted, if you will. Somebody say amen. We don't always say what you want to hear, but in most cases, I won't say in all cases, because sometimes we get caught up in ourselves. In most cases, we're saying what the Lord would have us to say, which means it's good prescriptive medicine for us. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen again. Today we want to dive into part 3 of these teachings entitled Truth Revealed by the Holy Spirit. Number one, if you're taking notes, as the Holy Spirit reveals truth to us, He speaks. Somebody say He speaks. Somebody say He says things. Somebody says He make utterances unto us. Let's prove this. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 3a. I'm just going to read the A portion of it. In seminary, they would call me an eisegesis this morning because I don't read the whole text. Amen. Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 3. That don't look like what I have. Let's see. Hebrews chapter 3. Verse number 7. How about that? I transpose. Somebody said transpose. Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 7a. It says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, the writer says, therefore, as the what? Holy Spirit says, that's present tense. That's relevant. Somebody say relevant, which means He's speaking in the now. That's not future. That's not past. Now, the Holy Spirit has said, but He says here that the Holy Spirit says. In our daily walk, He's speaking. Somebody say He's speaking. But we got to get to the place where we're here. Somebody say hearing. Consistent hearing. Somebody say amen. So the writer says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, and if you read on down in that particular chapter, He'll say, heart not your hearts. Don't rebel against what He's saying like they did in the day of provocation. Say provocation. That is when the children of Israel were out in the wilderness and they provoked God to anger. They provoked Him to anger because He had been with them all that time and He was speaking, and they hardened their hearts against Him. Somebody say amen. So the Holy Spirit says, and when you get to the point where you can hear Him say, you don't need to harden your heart against what He's saying. Amen. We don't need to rebel against what He's saying, because He's speaking to us for our good, amen, and for the good of the kingdom. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. So, verse 7a says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says. Somebody say says. Acts chapter 13, verse number 2. Acts chapter 13, verse number 2. Y'all all right? It says, as they, the Apostle Paul, the prophets, and the apostles, the prophets and the teachers that were in the church at Antioch, they ministered. Somebody said they ministered. They ministered to the Lord, and they fasted, which means they worship ministry. Minister can be translated worship. They worship the Lord and fasted during their time of worship. Amen. And as they fasted and worshiped, the Holy Spirit said. Somebody say He said. While they were worshiping God and fasting, they were abstaining from food, the Holy Spirit spoke. Now, I don't know if they were fasting and worshiping to hear from the Holy Spirit, but in the midst of their fasting and worshiping, He said something. Somebody say He said something. I just said something. In the midst of our worshiping, in the midst of our fasting, or just in the midst of our worshiping, He can say something to us. Amen. He can say something, that is, give us instructions for our ministry, instructions even for our lives. Somebody say amen. So the Holy Spirit said, say He said. What He said to them was instructions for at least two, that were gathered in the church of Antioch. Somebody say amen. So as they ministered and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now this is what I want you to do. I want you to do something, brothering. He says, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them to do. Amen. The Holy Spirit said, I've called them to do a work. Amen. Now it's time for you all, the church, to separate them or set them aside for the work that I've called them to do. Amen. Somebody say amen. So as they worship, as they fasted, the Holy Spirit said something. Somebody say, said something. That which he said was instructions to the body that was worshiping and fasting. Somebody say amen. When you're worshiping on Sunday mornings, are you listening? Or are you just going through a formality? Are you listening? The Holy Spirit said some things to me over that place where I sit that's shaking me sometimes during worship. Sometimes he's giving me instructions for the church during worship. I love worship. I love worship because I believe that I'm called to be a worshiper. I must worship him in spirit and truth. The Bible says he seeks us to worship him, amen. And I love the fact that I can worship and he will speak to me during worship. Sometimes I'm not even worshiping. I'm just in the midst of worship. Somebody say amen. And he'll breathe something in me or he'll speak something to me. So, Erica, while they were worshiping or ministering unto the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said something. Can I help somebody today? Anytime we're worshiping, somebody ought to be listening to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say to you, us, the church. Somebody say amen. So the Holy Spirit said the Holy Spirit said, John chapter 16, verse number 13. Somebody say, he speaks. Say it with some exclamation. Say, he speaks. Somebody say, amen. Now, this is Jesus talking. We've gone through this scripture. I think this is the third week we've looked at it, but we'll look at it again because there's something else in the scripture. Somebody say, amen. Jesus said, however, with us, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, which means Jesus had to leave before the Holy Spirit was pouring out for everybody. Somebody say amen. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit has always been present in the earth. I need to help you today. If you don't believe me, just go back and read the Old Testament some. Amen. When God was creating stuff, the Bible said that the Holy Spirit was hovering. He was hovering over the earth. Somebody say amen. And I believe in my spirit that he was hovering for a purpose, amen. I believe he was hovering to bring to pass everything that God said. When God said, let there be light, the Holy Spirit went to work, amen. When God said, let there be fish in the sea, the Holy Spirit went to work. When God said, let the trees come up out of the earth, I believe the Holy Spirit went to work, amen. So he's always been present. Say, always been present. Since the beginning. You ever read the life of Samson? It was the Holy Spirit that was on him, causing him to do those strong things that he was doing. Amen. He whooped 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass or jawbone of a donkey. Amen. The Spirit came upon him to do that. Amen. Somebody say amen. So the Spirit has always been present. Always been present. But on the day of Pentecost, say Pentecost, which is a Jewish holiday. I don't even want to get into all that because we, anyway, on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, God sent the Spirit, or he poured out his Spirit for all flesh, for all believers in Christ. Does that make sense to you? So the Holy Spirit became available for everybody after Jesus ascended back to heaven. There always remember this. There's always been a presence of God in the earth realm. Amen. Somebody say amen. In the Old Testament, we mainly see God the Father. Even though Jesus is present and the Holy Spirit is present, we mainly see God the Father. Somebody say amen. In the gospel era, we mainly see Jesus. Even though the Holy Spirit was present and God the Father was present. Somebody say amen. After the church was given birth to, we mostly see the Holy Spirit at work. Does that make sense to you? But all three are still present. Somebody say amen. So verse number 13 says, and I'm looking for God to do some things that he's told me to do as it relates to the world. I'm telling you, if my God, if you spend time with him, he'll show you some things that's going to happen even in the world. Somebody say in the world. There's a lot of things in the Bible that's already God-breathed. But if you spend time with the Holy Spirit, he'll tell you some things that's going to happen that's not recorded in the Word, amen. But it'll line up. Somebody say line up. Good God, I reckon. Amen. Somebody say amen. So the Holy Spirit speaks, and he speaks. Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak. Say speak. He's going to say something. He will not speak on his own authority. He just won't strike out and start saying something, amen. But what he hears, he will what? Speak. What he hears from God the Father and God the Son, that's what he will say to us. Somebody say amen. What he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you, us, things to come. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Just a couple things I need to share. I need to share from my own personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks. Somebody say he speaks. In the past, he's spoken some things to me that I want to share with you this morning. Somebody say amen. Everything that the Holy Spirit speaks, we don't shout about. Sometimes he gives us some admonitions. Somebody say he warns us. Sometimes he encourages us. Somebody say he encourages us. Sometimes he will downright rebuke us. I've been on every end of the spectrum. Somebody say amen. But I know God loves me. The Bible says who the Lord loves, he chastens, amen. So if he's trying to straighten me out, it's out of his love, amen. If the Holy Spirit is warning me or rebuking me, it's because God loves me enough to allow that to transpire for my good and for his glory. Am I talking to the right house? So the way that the Holy Spirit speaks to me is most times through the scripture. I would venture to say 99% of the time. This is the way he deals with me. I could be waking up from my sleep, getting ready to go to my private time with the Lord, and he will say something. In the past, he said something like Luke chapter 13. Well, I know what part of Luke chapter 13 says. So I start trying to figure out, what is he going to say? 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 So I'll go through my regiment. I'll go through my time of prayer, worship, and praise. And then I'll sit down with my word. And then I'll go to the place where he told me to go. In times present, oh no, that's wrong. In time past, I've turned to the pages of Luke chapter 13 like he said for me to do. And the heading over Luke chapter 13 in my Bible is repent or perish. Repent or perish. And then he gives me conviction right there. I get nervous. I think I'm going to die. But if he says something to me like repent or perish, the first thing I do is search out words. If he says to me, well, like he said to me in the past, repent or perish, repent has to do with changing the mind. A lot of us think that repent has nothing to do with anything but confessing something. But if you look up repent in the Greek, it has to do with reconsidering. It has to do with changing your thinking in a red area. Somebody say amen. So he wants me to change my thinking. He wants me to change my thinking or I'm going to perish. Now, if you look up the word perish in the Greek, it's going to say in one place, fool and destroy it. That makes you shake. And then if you keep on reading, it'll say, or suffer loss. That's why I got conviction. So he said to me that particular time, you need to change your mind in some areas so that your behavior can line up with line up with what I desire you to think so that you won't suffer loss in some areas. What kind of loss could I suffer? I could suffer loss in relationships. I could suffer loss in family because of some behavior that I'm operating in that doesn't line up with the will of God. God is so good, He will warn you before you get into some things that you don't need to get into, amen. So He's warning me, if you don't change your thinking in this area and let your actions line up with your thinking, you're going to hurt something or somebody, or you're going to suffer loss in some areas, amen. It could be losing your job and lose money. Somebody say amen. So this is the way He's dealt with me. Somebody said dealt with me. There's been some times that He will call the scripture out. In the past, He said to me, Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 17. Go there. That's the Holy Spirit talking to me. Whatever He's telling me is for my good and for God's glory. I wish, anyway. He said to me, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, speaking directly to me, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. You should no longer live like the unsaved folks live. I believe He's talking to somebody now. The way that they were walking was in the futility of their mind. So the Lord was sending me to let your mind leap in some directions that I don't want you to go in, amen. And if you look up the word futility, it has a lot of meanings. One of the meanings will be depravity. So you're walking like the Gentiles do in some area in your life. You can say I was totally depraved, but there's some depravity going on in your mind that you're lining up your actions with, amen. That needs to change. Go back to chapter 13 of the book of Luke, or you're going to suffer some loss somewhere. When the Lord speaks to me that strong, I don't say, Lord, help me to line up where you want me to line up. I pray some strong prayers. I say, Lord, help me to hate what you hate. Help me to hate what you hate, Lord. Because if I can hate what you hate, my thinking will begin to be, I hate what He hates in this area. And hopefully my actions will line up because I got to agree with my actions by the way, agree with my thinking by the way that I walk or by the way that I live, if you will. So He'll help you. He'll speak. And He didn't tell a word of lie. All of it was the truth. Because He'll give you some further clarity if you need some to help you, help me know that He's talking directly to me. Now, if you're not hearing those kind of things from the Holy Spirit, you might need to check your communion with Him. If everything that you're hearing from the Holy Spirit is happy, 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 perhaps you've reached perfection, and I doubt that very seriously. Happy, 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 happy. Amen. So, number one, today the Holy Spirit speaks. Say the Holy Spirit speaks. Number two, the Holy Spirit speaks spiritual language. Somebody say spiritual language. Somebody say spiritual language. The Holy Spirit speaks language from the ethereal realm. Look it up. Ethereal has to do with the heavenly realm. Ethereal has to do with the realm where God lives. We already read the scripture that He don't speak on His own. He speaks what He hears from God the Father and God the Son. Amen. So that which He speaks to us come from the realm where God lives. Amen. Somebody say amen. When He speaks to us, He compares spiritual things with spiritual things. Let me help that make sense to you. When He speaks to us straight from the throne room of God, amen, what He speaks should, in my case, always do, have some spiritual connotation to it or some scriptural connotation to it. Not only does He speak from the spiritual realm, but the word that we have, the Bible, is from the spiritual realm. Am I making sense to you? The scripture were God breathed into mankind, and mankind, whoever wrote the script, whoever wrote the particular books that we read, they wrote it down. The Bible said all scripture is given by what? The inspiration of God, amen. God is in the ethereal realm, or God is in the spiritual realm. So everything written in the scripture comes from the spiritual realm, amen. So when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we can measure it by something in the scripture. Because he's going to speak the language of God. Does that make sense to you? Let me see if I can clear that up. Let me do it this way. Then I'll get the scripture. You remember last week when I said something about spiritual dimness? Am I getting out of the way, Michael? It was compared with scripture. Spiritual dimness ain't in the word, but you can get a picture of spiritual dimness from the word, amen. You remember? We know in part, so we what? Prophesy in part. Somebody say amen. So the spiritual dimness phrase that the Holy Spirit gave me, we can go to the word and line it up from the word, amen. As a matter of fact, he's so good, when he spoke that phrase to me, I had never heard it before. I've heard of spiritual blindness, but spiritual dimness, no. When he spoke that phrase to me, the next thing he said was, he said to me, he actually quoted the scripture to me, and I knew where to find it. Which means he shared spiritual things and compared it with spiritual things. He didn't give me the spiritual thing and then compare it with some parable or story in the earth realm. Somebody say amen. But he gave me something spiritual and laid it alongside the word of God. Somebody say amen. You got to grow up to be able to hear things like that. Somebody say amen. And then I said spiritual transparency, a phrase that the Holy Spirit gave me. And then I gave you scripture to lay alongside that phrase, which was 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 10. Remember that? We know in part, but then we'll get to the place where we can know perfectly. That is, we can see clearly what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. Somebody say amen. So the Holy Spirit speaks spiritual language. Well, he speaks language from the throne, amen. But we can parallel what he speaks with the scripture, or we can get great understanding from the scripture. Does that make sense to you? Now let me take you to the scripture that helps us to understand that. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 10. Am I going too fast? I got a request from the children's church to try to be through by 11:15 so they can get everything that we're sharing. So I'm working on that. Somebody said working on that. What did I say? Go 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 10. But when that which is, did I say 13? Well, let's try 2:10. 1 Corinthians 2:10. But God, we need to read the whole chapter to get the whole understanding. Let me just hit this verse. But God has revealed them the things that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, the things that have not entered into the hearts of men, the things which God had prepared for those who love him. You go up a few verses, you'll read that. But God has revealed them to us how? Somebody said through the Holy Spirit. That ain't what I'm looking for. Even though that's truth. Go to verse 13. 2:13. Ho, ho, ho. These things. Y'all laughing at me? Who bad is? Okay. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, not that which philosophy teaches, but which the what? Holy Spirit teaches, comparing what? Spiritual things with what? With spiritual. I read that for a long time and had no idea what he was talking about. And then I got some revelation from the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit speaks to us, he's going to speak to us spiritual language. And whatever that language is, we can parallel it or lay it alongside some scripture or scriptures in the word of the Lord. Amen. Make it simple. He's going to speak in conjunction with the word. So you ain't got to be one. Is that him actually speaking? When he speaks, you can line it up with the word somewhere. You might not be able to quote scripture verse, but you might be able to line it up with a biblical concept, if you will. That's why we teach biblical concepts. So that you can know a concept. You might not know all the scripture, but you know the concept when you hear it. The Holy Spirit might say, forgive somebody. You know that's within the confines of Scripture, amen. Does that make sense? He might say, give. You know that's in confinement or in the realm of the Scripture, amen. He might say, give to anybody who asks. That you know that's in line with the Scripture, amen. He's going to speak in line with the Scripture. So the Holy Spirit speaks spiritual language. Say spiritual language. Remember, that's language from the ethereal realm. Okay. That's language from the throne room, if you will. That's what he's heard from God, the Father, or from God, the Son, or perhaps both. And when he speaks, you can line it up somewhere in the Scripture. Number three. What do you want me to do, Holy Spirit? God is big on relationship. Can I help you? God is big on relationship. That's why we have a body of Christ. That's a family. That's why we have the kingdom of God. That's citizenship in one perspective in the body of Christ, if you will. Somebody say family. Somebody say family. What in the world was I getting ready to say about that? Somebody say relationship. God does not desire. Let me look at the camera. I always forget that. When we move, we're going to have more than one camera. So wherever I look, the camera can be looking back at me. Amen. Because I have difficulty looking that way. Amen. Y'all forgive me, please. I know you're out there. Amen. Somebody say amen. So God desires relationship, not religious activity, but relationship. Somebody say relationship. And what I love about the Lord is I can know Scripture, and I know a lot of it. I can know Scripture and know to apply Scripture in an area, but the Holy Spirit will speak and say, not that. Instead of you being rigid right here and applying law right here, I want you to apply grace. Instead of you being rigid right here, I want you to God Almighty, I want you to apply compassion. I'm coming off the interstate. That the same man out there asking for money again. My rigidness says, I got to be a good steward of my money. And the Holy Spirit will say, give him something. He overrides the fact that I know the Scripture talks about good spirit, good stewardship, amen. He wants me to give because that might be the giving that can change the guy's life, amen. And I don't even have to know why he wants me to give. I just need to line up with what the Holy Spirit says, amen. Well, the Holy Spirit will never speak, or override what the Word says. He won't. He'll just place you in the proper place where you need to be in the Word, amen. I've said sometimes, oh, here's a good one. Then I learned some things with Mama transition. You know, I told y'all, I don't want to do nothing at the celebration. I want to be Ernestine's son-in-law or son. I want to be Jimmy Smith's son-in-law or son. I want to be my sister-in-law's brother-in-law, et cetera, et cetera. I said it. Y'all heard me say it. The next morning, I went into my quiet time, and the Lord gave me a whole eulogy for my mother-in-law. I learned that day, before you start running your big mouth, you need to ask the Lord what he wants. So I went into my bedroom. My wife was still laying down. She wasn't asleep, and she's I said to her, baby, I learned something this morning. She said, what you learn? I learned that I need to ask God some questions before I start saying what I'm not going to do. I said, the Lord revealed unto me a whole eulogy. Just gave it to me. Pop, 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 pop. For my mama and for your mama. And you know what she said to me? Because by that time, somebody else was going to do the eulogy. She said, can you preach it to me? And you know what I did? I preached it to her. That's a witness right there. And it blessed her. See, the Holy Spirit wanted us, and Eric did a wonderful job. Holy Spirit wanted people to know Mama, but he wanted us to know why our prayers wasn't answered. I would have said something like, what do you do when you've done everything you know to do, and what you wanted done didn't turn out the way that you thought it should have turned out? We prayed. We cursed and agreed. We cried out. We did everything that we knew to do according to the scripture. But Mama still went home to be with the Lord. The Holy Spirit told me this. There are some crosses that are too hard to bear in the earth realm. And when you got choices like she had, you can choose life still on the other side, amen, with other family members. I would have stood right there at the grave and told us all these things. Because we needed some clarity. We did everything we knew to do. And what we thought would have happened, because we did everything that the Word said do, it didn't happen, amen. We needed to know that not only do we have a will, but she has one too, amen. She was the one laying there hurt, not us. And it probably was too hard for her, so she decided, I don't have to take this. I got a heavenly home I can go to. I know it hurt her to leave you. I know it hurt her to leave you. I know it hurt her to leave us. No more pain, no more sorrow. And even the hallelujah part, I see y'all on the other side, amen. I just got there before you did, amen. We need to learn to ask the Lord what he wants us to say before we start saying what we're not going to say. And be obedient. I learned. Now, the Holy Spirit didn't tell me to go tell Eric I needed to preach, amen. The Holy Spirit gave me an audience. Her name was Vicky. And the message blessed her. Somebody say amen. I don't even know how I got there. Amen. So the Holy Spirit speaks. Say the Holy Spirit speaks. The Holy Spirit speaks in spiritual language. Say spiritual language. And everything I would have shared at the grave, I could have backed up with scripture. As a matter of fact, that's where the trick started. Say the trick started. Not trick, but trick, T-R-E-K. I had to do a eulogy probably a couple of weeks after that, 3 weeks after that. I didn't know the lady. I told the folks, look, I told the girl who called me. I said, I can't do no eulogy for your mama because I don't know your mama. But I can preach a word. The day of, sit down in the presence of the Holy Ghost. He took me to a scripture. Why is he taking me this here for a message? He took me to the mountain of transfiguration scripture. And then I started to read. And then I got to the place where Peter was so happy to be there that he wanted to build monuments or tabernacles to Jesus, Elijah, and who was the other person? Moses. Somebody said Moses. And then the Holy Spirit started talking. He said, some experiences are so great until you want to hold on to them. And he kept talking, and the next thing I knew, I had a eulogy for that lady. I got up and told folks at the funeral, look, I don't know, and they taught me in seminary that I shouldn't say that, so I can't eulogize. I ended up eulogizing somebody I didn't even know, amen, by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows everything and everybody. Look at my time. Everything and everybody. So what I got to stop doing is speaking out of turn. I got to learn to say, if it's the Lord's will, we'll do something. So Holy Spirit speaks. Let me give you one more. Holy Spirit speaks. Holy Spirit speaks spiritual language. Number three. As the Holy Spirit is speaking, we must have ears to hear. Somebody say ears to hear. from the Greek definition, ears, E-A-R-S, is the ear. The physical ear and the mental ear. So as the Holy Spirit speaks, we have to have the mind to hear what he's saying. If we're thinking naturally, in most cases, we ain't going to hear what he's saying because he's speaking spiritually. So when he speaks, we must have ears to hear. We must have the mind to hear what he's saying so that we can gain understanding. Somebody say understanding. Now, I've learned a few ways to get the mind to the place where it's elevated to hear spiritual things. One of the ways that we get the mind to a place where it's elevated, because it's a higher place to hear spiritual things, is through worship. You remember I told y'all that the Lord says, for this church, we have worship in the Word. I knew what he was talking about. All I knew to do was obey. So we have worship, and then what we have next? Somebody say the Word. We have worship first of God is trying to elevate our minds to the place where we can hear what the Word is saying, even if it's revelation opposed to just a written scripture that we could be sharing from. Another way our minds get to the place that is elevated to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying is through the gift of tongues. Now, I probably pray in the Spirit more than some of y'all do. As a matter of fact, I probably pray every day. When I pray in the Spirit, before it's time for me to spend my time with the Lord, to hear revelation and to read the Word, my mind gets elevated. My mind gets to a place, and I know some of y'all don't believe in the gift of tongues, but how do you rule that out if the Bible talks about it? So when I pray in the Spirit, guess what? My mind is elevated to the spiritual. And when my mind is elevated to the spiritual, guess what? I can hear clear as I hear you talk to me what the Holy Spirit is saying with some understanding. Because in most cases when he speaks, he's going to give you some understanding. Even if you have to look up some words to get the understanding, he's going to give you understanding. Somebody say amen. So, when the Holy Spirit speaks, Erica, we have to have ears to hear or the mentality or the mind to hear what the Holy Ghost is saying to us. Let me prove that real quickly. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 29. I'm going to give you three witnesses real quick. Here's something that we need to come to grips with. The Spirit is speaking to the church. He's speaking to the church. Say the church. He's speaking to the local assembly. That's why I could give you on New Year's Eve what the Spirit was saying to the church. Because the Holy Spirit said it to me. And so I just said what the Holy Spirit said to the church. I didn't give you no scripture. I just told you what the Holy Spirit said. The Holy Spirit is speaking to the church. And when he's speaking to the church is going to learn something the church needs to know. He's speaking to the local assembly, and he's speaking to the ecclesia, the called out of God, each one of us individually. But we have to have ears to hear. Somebody say ears to hear. He who has an ear, let him what? Hear what the Spirit says to what? To whom? Somebody say churches. But you got to have ear to hear. If you didn't have to have the ear to hear, he wouldn't have said it. John would have written what the Holy Spirit said. Am I making sense to you? Yeah. Revelation chapter 3. And if you read the seven letters to the seven churches at Asia Minor, you will see that he's speaking relevant things to the church. Things that are not written. Things that were not written during the time it was spoken. He spoke first, then he wrote, then he gave it to the angels, and the angels spoke it to the church. It was relevant stuff. I wish I could get y'all to hear what I'm saying. Okay. I'm teaching about the value of the scripture in Bible study. And all of us know that all the scriptures that were spoken didn't make it to the Bible. Just certain books were canonized. If we were still in the era, maybe some of the things that I say would have made it to the Bible. Because they were breathed by the Holy Spirit. And somebody might have thought that it was valuable enough to place it in the written scriptures. Does that make sense to you? My whole point is that before things were written down, they were breathed. They were spoken. Or they were written down and then they were spoken. Good God, I reckon. Revelation chapter 3, my time is up. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 6. He who has what? An ear. Let him what? Hear what the Spirit says to whom? The churches. So you got to have the right mindset to hear. If I had time, I'll tell you what mindsets keep us from hearing, but I'll tell you next week. Verse number 13, and I'll close. He who has what? An ear. Let him what? Hear what the Spirit what? Says. Somebody say says. Somebody say present. What the Holy Spirit says to the church or to the churches. So the Holy Spirit is speaking. The churches need to get to a place where they will hear. Or and the man or woman, the man and or woman of God who's the overseer needs to get to the place where they will listen and then share. Because he's speaking some relevant, real-time stuff to the church. There's the camera. Relevant, real-time stuff to the church that the church needs to hear. Yes, sir. I close on this. I fought Revelation for years because I was taught to fight it. And then, man, I cry sometimes almost when I think about all this stuff that the Holy Spirit was revealing to me years ago, and I fought it based upon what I was taught. I had some good teaching, but all teaching ain't good teaching, amen. Sometimes we teach stuff based upon our own natural thinking, amen. Man, they don't tell them what we could be revelation-wise. Not the book of Revelation, but what the Holy Spirit was revealing. But you got to get to a place where you accept what he's saying. You gotta get to a place where you know he's smarter than you, amen. You gotta get to a place where you know he'll reveal something to you for your life and for the life of the church, amen. Those things that God revealed to me about the sitting president and what was gonna transpire when it was time for the new president to come in. I fought with that, but even now, when I know I fought with that because I didn't want to be seen as a liar. But the Holy Spirit ain't gonna reveal to me no lie. The Holy Spirit said that Donald Trump was the apex of all the evil that has been done for the last 400 years and that he was going to move us into more compassionate leadership. What happened? Compassionate leadership. Amen. We got a compassionate president now and a compassionate vice president, and then we got two more senators that were moved in from Georgia that's going to be compassionate. God don't lie. We just need to listen. Amen. And some more stuff that I told you in that same message, you need to go back and pull the message, read it, and listen out for it. You'll know when I'm a lying prophet. When will you know I'm a lying prophet? When I tell you something that don't come to pass. And I'm always scared that it ain't gonna come to pass, amen. I had to grow up. And if it don't come to pass, I just missed it. I bet I've told you more things that did come to pass that didn't, amen. I just missed it that day. I was in flesh, Judy. And I just missed Judith. And I just missed it, amen. We got to get to the place where we listen to the Holy Spirit. Michael, my time is out. Next week, I'll pick up on the next point that I have on the paper. Were you blessed by the word today? Come on, let's bless God. Come on, let's bless God. Bless. Woo-wee! Thank you so much. Perhaps someone is listening today or watching today that don't know Jesus. We want to give you an opportunity today to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. If you're listening and haven't committed or trusted your life to Jesus, it's a simple situation. All you got to do is first believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus died for our sins, that God raised him up from the dead, and then you can pray and some other things. And then you can pray and ask him to come into your heart. Somebody say, simple situation. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Lord Jesus, save me. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. A prayer. Lord Jesus, be my Savior. Lord Jesus, be my Lord. And then you can have a celebratory prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming into my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for forgiving me of my sins. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being my Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being my Lord. If you pray that prayer in faith, guess what? He's appointed you to salvation, and he's going to come in and save your life. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Secondly, if you're listening, and I got straightened out on something, I'll tell you in a minute. If you're listening and you desire to give to this ministry, if you desire to sow seed in this ministry, if you're not a regular contributor to this ministry, you have plenty of opportunities and avenues by which you can give. There's Givelify. There's Cash App. Cash App is not dollar sign, but it's money sign, isn't it? No, that ain't what I got straightened out last week. It's dollar sign. Is that what I said last week? What did I say last week? Money sign. Okay, it's dollar sign. Friendship CCM, amen. You can pay. Oh, Lord, they spent me two times. You can pay by way of PayPal. You can go to our website and prompt and hit the prompts that shows you how to give and pay by way of PayPal. You can do blank bill pay, and I really don't know what that is. Or you can pay by way of the United States Postal Service, amen. We receive your gifts, pray over them, thank God for them, and believe God for a blessing that's attached to your giving. Amen. Lastly, at 11:30 a.m., our children's church ministry will commence. We share children's church ministry by way of Zoom. The meeting ID is 832-3475-6582. Again, 832-3475-6582. One more time, 832-3475-6582. And the password is 680-632. 680-632. One more time, 680-632. I said that was the last thing, but I have one more thing, perhaps two. Amen. Next to the last thing, you can join us each week, each Wednesday evening at 6:45 p.m. for Bible study, for weekly Bible study. You can join us by way of Facebook Live. We also have a Zoom ID, and the Zoom ID I'm going to try to shoot from memory. 825-199-7060. Again, that's 825-199. Y'all ain't helping me. 7060. Again, that's 825-199-7060. And the password is FCCM, all lowercase letters. 1238. Again, that's FCCM, all lowercase letters, 1238. And beginning the first Monday in March, we will do First Mondays from the Pastor's Desk. And I'll share with you a brief word that the Lord would have me to share with you on that particular Monday. And we'll continue to do that until we reach the point where we might be doing it every day. Somebody say amen. So those are all of our announcements today. I hope that during the midst or during the course of these lessons, particularly today's lesson, that something was said that will help you in your walk with the Lord. Amen. Well, until next Sunday, somebody's probably saying, when's the pastor? But I'm talking about for this service. Somebody say amen. Until next Sunday, I pray you have a wonderful, awesome week. I pray that you practice safety in all that you do. Pray God's blessings upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have an awesome week.